Hey there, friends. Welcome back to Work Less, Earn More. Today's episode is something a little bit different because we are going to be talking about a physical product business. However, before you think, oh, well, this isn't for me then and switch to a different episode, keep on listening because I think even if you sell a digital product like a course or you have a coaching program or anything like that, you are actually going to learn a whole lot from this episode that is very applicable to your business. So in today's episode, I'm interviewing Anu Menon, who is the founder of Driftaway Coffee. Driftaway Coffee is a coffee subscription company. And in this interview, Anu tells us how she got it started. And the reason I want to share her story with you is not only is it a really interesting business story, but also it just struck me how similar her startup process was to the process that we guide our Validate students through when they are validating or testing out their online course ideas. I think often there is so much we can learn from studying different industries than our own, people who have products that are different from our own, people who use marketing strategies that are different from our own, because oftentimes we can learn lessons from these different situations that we never would have thought about in our own situation. Now, like I said, Anu's story is just very interesting overall. And I think you're not only going to learn some valuable lessons about how to test drive a new business idea, but also how to get it to grow exponentially over time. We became entrepreneurs because, more than anything, we want freedom. We want to be in control of our own schedule, income, and life. But unfortunately, that isn't always the reality of being a business owner. I'm Gillian Perkins, and I'm on a mission to take back entrepreneurship for what it's supposed to be. In every episode, I'll share with you how to get the most out of every hour you work so that you can work less and earn more. Let's get to it. Hi there, Anu. Welcome to Work Less, Earn More. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you. It is so great to be here. So thank you for having me. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about all of this.
Yeah. So the reason I wanted to have you on the show was to talk about your coffee subscription specifically and how that is working together with your business model. And if you could tell me about like the pros and the cons that you've experienced with the subscription business model, specifically with a physical product like you have. So to start out, could you just tell me about how you originally got into the coffee business?
So getting into the coffee business, actually, there's two paths to it for me. So one was choosing to start a business. So I used to work in a digital marketing agency. I loved doing the work for a long time, but 6-7 years in, kind of had this question of like, what am I doing in my life? Is this what I really want to do? And things that many people probably question a few years into, you know, corporate America. And I knew that I didn't know what at that point, but I knew I just needed to make a change. And I wanted to do something that I would create. Like that was a huge part of it because I was a project manager and I was managing other people. But the work, the final product that we created wasn't something that I could point at and say, hey, you know, I've done this. And I didn't really know what that would be. And then coffee separately was something that I've been kind of getting more and more into just as a consumer at home. You know, got my first espresso machine, then found out like you've got to use beans. You know, if you start with whole bean coffee, your coffee is going to taste much better. And then from there on, then realizing, well, it also needs to be freshly roasted. And then coffee stays fresh for only about 14 to 21 days after roasting. So ideally, you want to have your coffee within 14 to 21 days and then get new fresh roasted coffee every 2 to 3 weeks. And so it was sort of a personal need where I came to New York. I moved to New York in about 2013, tried out a bunch of subscriptions and didn't really find one that I truly loved all the time. It would be like I'd like one coffee 1 month, but not necessarily the next month. And it was around the same time I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in my life. So it became a question of like a need that I wanted. And also I was just tired of talking and thinking about doing something else. So I wanted to try something out and see where it went. And worst case, you know, it would fail, but that's fine. At least I'd learn from doing than just thinking and talking.
Yeah, that's a great perspective to have.
Yeah, and here we are 9 years later, still doing this.
Yeah. So did you initially start your business as a coffee subscription? You didn't like start a roastery first and then later add the subscription?
Yeah, it started as a subscription business right from the beginning. Because the idea was always getting, the initial business idea, and it still is even now, was getting fresh roasted coffee delivered home. Mm-hmm. So a subscription just made sense. And because I had this thing that I wanted to create something of my own and be involved in the creation process, I didn't want it to be just a digital platform. I wanted to actually be involved, like actually create a physical product.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we learned to roast and all of that good stuff. And yeah.
So which parts of the process does your business do versus is there anything that's outsourced? So for example, like, do you actually roast the beans? Do you pack and ship them? Or do you have help with any of those things?
Yeah, we roast the beans. I mean, we now have a good sized team. So
yeah,
our team, we source green beans. So we source green beans from coffee producers and farms all around the world. We roast them and then we do the whole fulfillment ourselves. Again, because it was in the beginning, especially because we were so focused on the fresh roasted. And even today for subscriptions, fresh roasted, we ship within 24 hours of roasting. And so because that element of fresh roasting was so important, we've always managed our fulfillment ourselves. And so we do all the roasting, packing, and all of it ourselves.
Amazing. I have a couple kind of nitty gritty questions for you about the specifics of how you like run and operate this business. So first would be like when you initially started getting into the roasting part yourself, how did you find like space, some sort of office space or something, I don't know, to do the roasting in and get the machinery and all of that?
So first when I started, I wanted to test out the idea first because, you know, first there was this idea, which was fresh roasted coffee. The initial idea was just actually doing premium grocery level coffee was what we were thinking. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know, you know, I wanted to do some sort of like create an MVP of sorts to kind of test out the idea, see if it'll work.
Yeah.
And also when I started getting into coffee, because I didn't come from coffee, I was like reading up about green beans and roasting and tasting, and there's so much to learn. So I was sort of getting overwhelmed. And I still remember our living room had like all these big sort of like giant post-its of like sourcing, packaging, this and that. And it felt like, wow, you know, to learn all of it would take us years mm-hmm. to actually create a product. And then I was reading up and I was like, well, you know, we do all of that and we don't have any customer input in that process, then we'll probably end up with a product that nobody wants. And so decided to scratch all of that and said, you know what, let's first do just a basic product. We will not even, in fact, roast in for our test. We will actually get coffees that have been roasted outside by other roasting companies that we admire. We'll package it up and we'll just send it to our close friends and family. And not even close friends, just friends, family, people we know, we feel kind of fit our target audience. And test out the idea. So like, what if we send people fresh roasted coffee? What will their reaction be like? And so we did a little quiz. We would ask them, like, what kind of coffee do you like? We also wanted to do coffee at that point that was very specific to how much you consumed. Hmm. So if you consume, like, a pound within 2 weeks, we want to make sure we send you exactly how much you need for 2 weeks and then refresh it every 2 weeks. So we spent a lot of time figuring that out and sending people these coffees. And then we did interviews afterwards. And when we did the interviews, what we found out was there were people who were having, like, say, Folgers or, you know, I'm not knocking on any of the coffees, but there was, like, coffees, like, supermarket-level coffees. Mm-hmm. And we sent them some of the best specialty coffees that we knew, like Blue Bottle. And I was expecting, you know, people to be blown away by this. We're like, wow. Like, that was the reaction I was expecting because that was my idea. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get it. And people were like, yeah, this is nice because, you know, nobody wants to hurt your feelings. But it wasn't like, wow. Mm-hmm. And when we asked a little bit more, it was related to, so if you love dark roast, if I give you the best coffee that exists, but it's a light roasted coffee, you're just not going to appreciate it. It's just not, you're like, yeah, that's fine, you know, but I like what I normally drink. I don't have any frills when I drink. So the first thing we realized was like personalization matters a lot. And in fact, matters more than freshness, which was something that we didn't realize as much. And then secondly, when we did the quizzes, we also realized that everyone's idea of roast levels varied completely. Mm. So, you know, what you may call a light roast, maybe something we call a medium roast or a dark roast and so on. And so that's how we basically went around to sending people instead of sending one coffee, we started sending four or five different coffees with different roast levels. And then you can sort of choose and pick which ones you like based on actually your taste buds, based on trying them out. And then the other thing we realized people really loved is that once you find your like taste profile, people love discovering new coffees from around the world. So that's sort of how our subscription got set up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we were going to ask you because we started talking about how the roasting got set up, but I can jump into that right after.
Yeah, but I knew that was incredible. That was so methodical. And yeah, I'm so glad you went into that. So once you did all your initial testing and you learned basically like what the customers wanted, then what was your next step?
The next step was to then get actually a quick website out. Again, we wanted something simple and easy. We designed packaging. So I designed packaging myself. We were completely bootstrapped and we still are 100% self-funded. So, you know, it was me designing all our packaging right then. And then we had to learn to roast coffee. So we actually started with these tiny home roasters. So the other thing mm-hmm. was we also wanted, you know, we didn't buy a roaster, as you can imagine. It is really expensive. And we weren't ready to commit to that. Neither did we have the money, to be honest, to be able to buy a roaster or mm-hmm. a warehouse facility. We live in New York. So we said, okay, let's just start small. We'll start with these tiny home roasters and we'll put together a website. We'll put together the product, the subscription, all of it. And let's see, you know, if we get customers. We wanted to have paying customers and some sort of traction before we then figured out the next step of like, roasting properly outside in a proper facility. We knew that there was a shared roasting facility in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So basically kind of like a facility where you can just roast for a few hours and then, you know, package the coffee and send it out. But they also require minimums. So as in terms of like a roaster is like a huge machine.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to put in like at least 15 pounds, 20 pounds. And if we wanted fresh roasted coffee sent to customers, then we need to be able to have customers that we can ship the next day.
Yeah.
So we first wanted to kind of get those customers and then be able to move to a facility like that.
And did you feel like you almost needed to have enough customers that you could roast and be shipping the 15 to 20 pounds every day? Because otherwise, like, how would you keep up with that schedule? You know, like if you only had 10 customers, you know, maybe that's enough for, you know, one batch. But then if they had subscribed on different days, then you'd be able to coordinate that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so initially that was one of the thoughts that we had. But then we spoke to someone. I'd go to all these like coffee festivals and coffee trade shows to just learn more, not coming from the industry itself. And I distinctly remember speaking to this person who'd been in coffee for a really long time. And he was like, oh, but then you got to be roasting daily. And like the amount of time it'll take to get there is so much further out. And he had said, you know, when they started, they would only roast once a week. So all the orders kind of sync it up so that subscription orders go out once a week.
Sure.
And he's the renewals. But we also wanted sort of that instant gratification for people who just placed an order for new subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you place the order, that initial Explorer box goes out every day, but renewals happen like once a week when we started, and now it's like two or three times a week.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Just to sync them up.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that there was that shared roasting space. I'm sure that made the transition so much easier. At this point, you have your own facility?
Yes. At this point, we have our own facility. At the shared roasting facility, we went from roasting a couple of hours on Saturdays to roasting twice a week to I think three times a week. And then now we have our own facility where we have a big roaster. We got one back in 2021, I'd like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And we roast in our facility in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And what a good lesson for the listeners to take away, to find like a stepwise approach and to figure out how you can incrementally work up to creating whatever you're imagining of creating. You know, you might look at, I want to start a coffee roasting company. So you look at other existing coffee roasting companies and you see what their facility is like and the equipment they have and whatnot and think, oh, wow, I need, you know, so much startup capital to get into that business.
Mm.
But I love how you know, just took it one step at a time and you found those incremental stages that you could go through.
Yeah, it was a learning process for sure. I think it honestly helps when you are bootstrapping. You don't have any other option. There isn't anything else, but yeah.
It saves you, I think, a lot of the risk, right? Yeah. Because if you have the money or you have investment, then you just like jump into the deep end and you might not know how to swim yet.
Yeah, I agree. And then I think it's also like it helps you scale carefully and not go too fast. And also you're so conscious about where every dollar goes in because of all of that. So yeah, I think it definitely helps.
So let's talk about scaling now. So you started out with just your friends and family, right?
Yeah.
What have you done to market the brand and acquire new customers?
So when we started out, like I said, we had that small, tiny home roaster in our little tiny Brooklyn apartment. And of course, we built this website, put it out there, and we spent so much time. It was me and my husband. So both of us started Driftaway sort of together, except he had a full-time job and I was on Driftaway 100% starting it. And so we had the website up. We spent all this time on the product. And though we worked in marketing, you know, when you're doing it yourself, we didn't have the time to spend time on marketing while the product was being made. So, of course, we launched a website and crickets, right? No one did them because we hadn't really worked on marketing. And so what we did was we put out a few ads in the beginning, social media, Facebook, all of that, which didn't help much. But then we started also just reaching out to influencers. And this is back in 2014. So I would say much like influencers were probably barely starting out. And we were just looking for. So I remember one of the people we reached out to was this tech founder who was really into coffee and so had a big following on Twitter. Big following from those days was like 64,000. So not as crazy as things are right now in the content creation world. But he had a really engaged following and people who really trusted him for his coffee recommendations. And so shot him an email saying, hey, we just started this coffee subscription business. We know you're really into coffee. Would you like to try it out? And he was like, yeah, sure. Send me a box. And so we sent this Explorer box, which had like the four different coffee samplers. And he replied, after he tried it out, we were like, oh, let's see what he says. And he was like, oh, this is great. You know, this is cool. I can see how this would be really great for somebody getting into coffee because you get to actually try different coffees, you know, small sampler size portions of different roast levels. So I can see how this would be good for, you know, people getting into coffee. And he sort of, you know, was like, oh, but I don't understand why everyone always roasts Kenyan coffees on the light side. I personally prefer a dark roast. And so the message was sort of mixed. And I was like, oh, no. And so we asked, we're like, oh, well, if you think it would be helpful for people getting into coffee, do you mind sharing that with your followers? And literally at that point till then, we had one subscriber who was a friend's mom, and that was it. And this goes out. And we had orders, subscriptions after subscriptions. We basically got 200 subscribers overnight.
Wow.
Which was...
That's like business breaking.
We're like, what? especially when you're roasting, you know, we have this tiny little roaster. I think our idea at that point, the aim was like, if we get to 40 subscribers, we need to figure out how we can do this properly, scale it properly. And instead we had 200 subscribers. The one tiny machine we had would take half a pound of coffee and then it needed to rest for an hour before you could roast another half pound of coffee. As opposed to, you know, the 20, 30 pounds you should be roasting in 15 minutes, which is what we kind of do right now. And so our idea of scaling up at that point is, Sehoob was still working full-time in his marketing job. I was working on this. The only way we could scale up was actually get a second machine, literally the same size. They both just sat next to each other on our kitchen countertop because we now had subscribers. And so we definitely didn't have the time to be able to even really pause and look and figure out scaling and all of that. And so we just, all we did, we would literally wake up at 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and we would be roasting bags of coffee, little tiny, half pound by half pound, and shipping it out. So that's kind of our first big break, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds like really stressful.
Yeah, stressful, but also a different kind of stress because, you know, there's a kind of stress when you don't have customers and then the kind of stress that when you have like a lot of demand. So it's a good kind of stress.
Yeah, for sure. So what was the solution to that? Like, how did you finally scale up your systems?
We reached out to the shared roasting facility. They were also actually just starting their hourly kind of program. Mm-hmm. So we were the first people. We were like, oh, the minute you start your hourly program, we're there. Just let us know. So yeah, the minute they started it, we were the first people. We'd go out on Saturdays. At this point, it was really by that point, because we had enough subscribers, we had a good idea of exactly how much coffee we needed to source, how much we needed to roast. We were pretty much, because the idea was always fresh roasted coffee, we were always roasting and kind of roasting to order. So we roasted for all the subscribers that we knew we were going to fulfill the following week, along with some extra for new subscribers. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, our next step was starting to use that shared roasting facility.
So since that time, has using influencer marketing continued to be your main customer acquisition strategy?
Actually, not so much. We did test that a lot more afterwards, but it wasn't as successful as that first one. What instead started working for us was any content, be it press or blogs or anything that had really high SEO ranking for things that were related to us and specific to us. So as an example, if you search for best coffee subscriptions, all the articles that are out there on that first page, whether they are from coffee blogs, publications, etc. Those are basically what we found have been the most helpful.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, we go back and forth with influencer marketing and content creators, but honestly, it's sort of part of the strategy, but not the main part. Like, at least it's not very traceable.
Sure.
Whereas with blogs and essentially affiliate marketing has really worked for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting combo strategy, because another strategy that works for a lot of businesses is getting listed in directories, which is kind of what you've done with getting listed in those blog posts of like best coffee subscriptions. Although the model there of like how you got listed in them is a little different, and it leans heavily on SEO as well.
Interesting. When you say directories, what sort of directories?
Well, I think back, this is just one little example, but in my former career, I ran a music school. And one of our most effective strategies for attracting students was if you Googled like piano teacher in city state, then you would find these different directories that listed piano teachers in that city. And so simply listing our teachers in those directories got us a lot of students without us having to do like content marketing ourselves or pay for other advertising. That is a form of paid advertising, but it's, you know, very different than like a Facebook ad or something like that.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, so those listicle blog articles, they're very similar. Tell me a little bit about how you started getting featured in those blog articles.
Honestly, in the beginning, it was cold outreach. There was a point like somewhere in the first few years where we had this, as we kept growing, one of the things that we realized pretty early on was because of the branding, the packaging, it was very giftable. Our subscriptions, the Explorer box became really popular during holiday season. And so then we thought about, well, how do we really double down on that? So we built out this really and even now this exists, our gift subscription customizer, which lets you completely customize these gift subscriptions. You can choose size, duration, frequency, all of that. You can choose to do things like ship it to yourself for your first delivery, because a lot of times people are meeting their family for Christmas, for holidays. And so they want to give that first delivery in person, but then the gift receiver can then set up the rest of the deliveries later on to come to them directly. So we did a lot of things to sort of build this gift subscription customizer as such. And then one of the years we realized we were sort of almost running out of money, to be honest. And we just really needed that year. It was a make or break year, and I feel like many businesses probably go through that. And we didn't have money for actually having a PR agency or anything. It was just literally me and my partner on the marketing side of things. And we put together a pitch on, you know, what this gift subscription is about, photos of it, how it works. And we cold emailed lots of different blogs. We cold emailed writers in various publications, generally people who were writing gift guides. So that was really, because it was a gift subscription, we were looking for getting included into gift guides. I remember we cold emailed one of the producers from the Today Show, and they actually responded and we were on the Today Show back in 2017. So yeah, a lot of this was honestly cold emails with, but a very strong like a press kit, and we had a full catalog, a brochure, photos and all of it kind of backing everything.
So do I understand correctly that you like looked for media and writers who were writing and publishing content like you wanted to be featured in? And, you know, with the gift guides, you could look back and see like who published gift guides last year that would be a good fit for you. And then you reached out to those people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we did. And so, for example, and we would look for the gift guides that were the most relevant. So say best gifts for coffee lovers, for example, you know, and you search and you find like, where are all the articles talking about it? And maybe reach out to the same writer, or if there's another writer at the same publication who's writing other gift guides, maybe related ones, like food-related ones, could be gifts for dad or daughter, all of that, all of those different variations of those gift guides.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah, we would cold email, here's our pitch, we think we would be a great addition to either this one or any other gift guides you might be working on. Here's more information about us. We'd love to send you a sample to try it out. And I mean, you know, obviously the product has to then stand for itself. So most people though would be like, oh yeah, this sounds great. Try, you know, whoever would reply and ask for a sample, in most cases, the sample's converted into being included in all these articles.
Nice. That was such a smart strategy, you know?
we tried. Nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, right. And I think that that's like a recurring theme in your story, is that you just like went for it because like nothing to lose, you know, like even if the business fails, like that's not even something to lose. You will learn something from it and you can try again. So what would you say is your best advice for somebody who's considering starting a subscription business of some sort?
For me, I think when I look back at all of this, I think working with a test first really helped us. When you start with a small test and you immediately try and get your product or some version of that product out in front of consumers, you truly learn like what your consumers want.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it without spending too much time, money, and effort on it. So, you know, try to get something, even if it's not your product, but if it's a version of your product, so that you can get feedback up front, I think is one of the best things. I'm glad we did, because even today, that fundamental idea of the product is still the same. Like we still have like 5 different copies, people try them out, this whole discovery version. And I think that's still there because initially we tested out that idea so thoroughly and really listened to, you know, the people we tested the idea with. And that just helps, because sometimes otherwise you spend like 2 or 3 years with this idea that you have, and then you build a product and it takes time to build products. It takes time to get it out there, to have the right distribution channel. And then you get feedback and then you kind of have to go backwards and then you're like, oh, and you've spent just so much time on it. So my number one suggestion is always to try and get something out to people as soon as possible so that you can then get feedback and build something with that feedback.
Can I ask, when you did your first initial testing, what you said was something like you just sent it to a bunch of friends and family so that you could get their reaction. So did you just send it to them for free? Did you ask, like, what exactly was the ask? Did you ask them, would you be willing to try this and pay for it? Or would you be willing to try this for free? Or you just like sent it to them like surprise?
No, so we basically emailed them and said, hey, you know, I probably even have these spreadsheets somewhere, but I had a spreadsheet of like, who are all the people who we think would be, you know, the people we know that we could email our message and who would be the target audience, that we would consider the target audience. So we made a whole list of all of them. We sent them an email saying, Sayog and I want to start a coffee business. Would you be willing to participate in a test of sorts? No cost to you. We'll send you coffee. But in return, we just would like 15 minutes or so time talking afterwards just to kind of understand your experience, get some feedback from you. And we did this over, I'd say 3-4 weeks. And, you know, it's I think it was like 25 people or so. So it's not a big number. It was a relatively small number, but we try to get like people of slightly different age groups, people doing different things. So try to get a bit of a variation in our audience. And we also changed the protocol within like a week or so as we learned from like, say, the participants in the first week. So in the beginning, we were basically asking them, how much coffee did you drink? We had a quiz. So we put up like a Google Forms, you know, survey out there that said, hey, here's, can you just fill this out? It asked them for their address. It asked for what kind of coffee do you like roast levels, how much you drink. And then we went out, bought fresh roasted coffee. I remember we chose, and we would try to match essentially the coffee flavor with the roast level that they said they liked. And then just put it in, I think it was like a brown bag of coffee, and just mail it over to them. You know, then after we did the first round of interviews, I remember the people realizing that, you know, people, in cases where we send more than one type of coffee, and we did that because partners had a different taste, so we sent them like two different kinds of coffee, and then we realized like, oh wait, those started working better than just sending one.
On the one hand, your startup process was so methodical and strategic. And then on the other hand, it was so simple. And it's like so amazing that that like simple test turned into what it is today.
I know, right? Yeah. I think methodical is natural to me. I'm an engineer by background, so I feel like it needs to be methodical. But it is crazy sometimes looking back that it all did work out. And some of those concepts, all those concepts actually still exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Anu, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for everything you've shared with us and just like how much you've peeled back the curtain on your business and shared with us those origin stories. To wrap this up, tell the listeners a little bit about your company, where they can go to learn more, and what like the first step would be if they're interested in maybe starting a coffee subscription themselves. And I don't mean like starting a company themselves. I mean, if they're interested in your coffee subscription.
Yes. Thank you so much, Gillian, for having me. This has been fun going down memory lane. And I hope it's helpful for other people who are also trying to start a company or trying to figure out, you know, how to start a company. So you can find Driftaway on our website, driftaway.coffee. Though we started as subscriptions, we do everything from subscriptions to single bags to virtual coffee tastings and so on. We source from small scale producers from around the world. And we're looking to prioritize, you know, as we've evolved and grown, we prioritize women coffee producers more and minority coffee producers more. And we're truly trying to make the entire relationship in coffee more equitable at the source. So yeah, check it out. It's driftaway.coffee.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Anu. And thank you so much for being here on the show today.
Thanks so much, Gillian.
Are you ready to finally take the leap in your business to making six figures every year? I would love to work with you to turn your inconsistent income into consistent 10K plus months. And we've created an entire program to guide you to do exactly that. It's called 100K Mastermind, and it's a 6-month mentorship that will guide you to set up your strategic automated sales funnel system and fuel it with ready-to-buy leads. Because I know that you don't just need a funnel, you need a strategically designed funnel that's based in sales psychology. And you need a system that's going to send leads into it. Because a funnel without any leads flowing into it isn't going to make you any money. If you're interested in working together to get your six-figure system set up, then head to gillianperkins.com/100K. That's gillianperkins.com/100K. On that page, you're going to find all the details about the program, what we cover in it, exactly what you'll learn and what you'll accomplish, as well as the dates for our next cohort and the link to apply. Again, just visit gillianperkins.com/100K. I can promise you this, your business and life will never be the same.